Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Watching a replay of the tail end of the Royals game, I understand they win it, but, you know, it's close. But let's build them a stadium anyway. Happy you joined us tonight here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thrilled to have you with us. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330, by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Two things coming up. Guy Benson is coming to Wichita on August 5th. We're working to see if we can get him on the show. Got another little hat tip to you on a special guest. We are working to have Mark Levin back on the show. We will, as soon as we have that date for you, but we are going to have him on, just working on when, but we'll have the great one, Mark Levin, on the show. I've had him on the show two or three times. It's always great. It's always fun to have the great one on the show. And we're doing another live remote. We're going to go back down to AFP's headquarters at Union Station coming up on August 10th. We'll be broadcasting live, inviting folks to come on out, enjoy a live broadcast. We will have all of the guests will be in studio, so you can meet folks, do a bunch of interviews, bring the audience in. We'll be broadcasting live again from AFP's headquarters. And it's going to be a great event, and it'll be sponsored by our friends here locally, Hunter Larkin, my buddy Hunter Larkin's going to sponsor this one. It'll be at AFP's headquarters. We'll bring you more information, so keep an eye on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page for more details. But just mark your calendars. Sunday, August 10th, we'll have another live remote broadcasting live. Tonight, got a great show for you, great lineup. If you've ever seen the series Navy SEALs, I love that show. It's a really good show. It's on right now on Paramount Plus. But Delta Force operator and star of the TV series, Tyler Gray, will be my guest. He'll talk about, you know, obviously some of his exploits as a SEAL, but and a little bit about his story. He's become an advocate of PTSD. He was wounded in combat. We'll talk to him a little bit about that and about his fight with PTSD and what he's doing on behalf of veterans. Attorney, columnist, and author Leslie Corbley will try and explain why another activist judge, last week an activist judge barred the Trump administration from revoking Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. Senator Ty Masterson will join us for a special announcement coming up here in a little while. You may have heard, but Senator Masterson made an announcement earlier this afternoon. I understand it went really well. I was in the midst of preparing for the show, so I couldn't make it out there. But, yeah, I mean, I'll let him give you the announcement. But for those of you who watch the news probably already know, but anyway, we'll have Ty on here in a few minutes. Sedgwick County Commissioner Jeff Blubaugh will walk us through the county's proposed 2025 budget. And Kyle Wiseman will continue our candidate profiles with Kyle Wiseman. He is a candidate for election to the USD 259 school board, the seat currently held by last week's guest, Diane Albert. So should be interesting. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Speaking of elections, I know I kind of mentioned this last week. I kind of talked about it a little bit last week. But starting tomorrow, live in-person voting begins for these local elections. And to give you some perspective, we had about 15% voter turnout in the last midterm election. So the last off-year election in 2023. And these, you know, folks, these are the elections that decide your school board, your city council, your tax rates, not Washington, not the White House, right here, right now. Voting has already begun in person, begins tomorrow. And let me be blunt, frankly, if conservatives don't show up, we lose. It's that simple. The left will win. The Democrats will win. You know, if you want to keep woke ideology out of your schools, if you want to protect girls' sports from biological males, if you want to stop taxpayer-funded nonsense like drag queen story hour at your local library, then you have one job, and that's to vote. And I don't want to hear your excuses. I'm too busy, or it's just a school board race, or I had a lot on my plate. I sound like Bill Clinton. I'll wait for the general. No, that attitude is exactly why we're in this mess to begin with. Because if you sit on your derriere, then the weaker candidates get through, or the candidates at the school board, or the KNEA, the teachers unions, because they get their folks out. We got to get our folks out. And let's look at the numbers. 2 years ago, just 2 years ago, as I said, only 15.33% of eligible voters showed up for the primaries. That's just over 15%. That's not just low, it's pathetic. And that's how we lose these races. That's how we lose control of budgets. That's how we lose our communities. That's how we go from district-wide school board races in Wichita to district-only school board races. Because we lose a seat and the Democrats get control, and that's how we get bond initiatives. Fortunately, we beat that one, but they're going to try again. They've already said they're going to try again. And then what happens? You wake up one day and find out your tax dollars are being used to fund $600,000 porta potty projects in downtown Wichita because some liberal consultant in Portland said it's inclusive. You wonder why the city council is dropping millions of dollars on nonsense, or the county commission spends millions of dollars on an elephant barn, or out-of-town artwork installed at the local water treatment plant. Well, it's because not enough conservatives are voting against that nonsense. You wonder why your property taxes keep going up, why your private property rights are being eroded, why the city is buying and owning property, spending money that they don't need on projects that don't benefit everyone. Well, it's because we aren't electing the right kind of people in the right kind of positions. It's because you didn't vote. It's because 15.3% of the populace only voted. And if you're one of those people who complain on social media, who gripe to your neighbors, who curse at your TV every night, who go to Pachyderm Club and complain, but don't show up and cast a ballot, you're part of the problem. You may not want to hear it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Shame on you. Because if you sit this election out, and let me be crystal clear about what you're voting for by not doing this, by doing nothing. If you want drag queen story time in your public libraries, stay home. If you want $600,000 porta potties, stay home. If you want millions of tax dollars to go to elephant barns or to county, if you want them to go to the people to run the elephant barns or art installations no one asked for, stay home. Oh, and by the way, the artists, they're from out of state, too. So we're not even hiring local artists. If you want your property rights stripped, stay home. If you want your taxes raised, stay home. If you don't care that only 19% of students in some districts are proficient in reading, stay home. If you don't care that only 13% of students in some districts are proficient in math, stay home. If you think it's fine for students to be forced to read LGBTQ propaganda in elementary school, stay home. If you support biological dominant girls sports, biological males dominating girls sports, stay home. If you're okay with local government ignoring student outcomes, academic performance, fiscal discipline, and parental rights, stay home. But if any of that outrages you, and it should, then do something about it. Get up, get out, get engaged, and vote. This election is where your voice actually matters. Everyone wants to scream about the presidential election every 4 years, and that's all well and good. And next year we'll be invigorated because, you know, Dr. Marshall will be on the ballot and there'll be a governor's race on the ballot. But the truth is, your vote for school board, your vote for city council, your vote matters and has more immediate impact on your daily life than anything happening in Washington, D.C. You want to stop DEI? You want to stop CRT in the classroom? Vote. You want to ban sexually explicit materials from libraries? Vote. You want to fire incompetent superintendents and elect board members who care about student outcomes, not political activism? Vote. You want to cut spending, reduce bureaucracy, bring common sense back to government? Then by God, vote. I'm not asking you to storm the beaches of Normandy. I'm not asking you to show up at a polling station. I'm not asking you to donate, although by God, if you can, do it. It takes 10 minutes out of your life to shape the next 10 years of our community. The left shows up. They always do. Even when they don't know what's on the ballot. They just do it because they're told to. They look for the D, they vote for the D. Why? Because the far left activists are organized. They're motivated. And they've been playing the long game, targeting local offices while we've been asleep at the wheel. Look at our schools. Look at the garbage curriculum. Look at the test scores. Look at the policies. So what do we need to do? Find out where your polling place is. Make a plan. Go before work, during lunch, or right after dinner. Drag your neighbor with you. Bring your spouse. Text your church group. Post it on Facebook. Knock on doors. Write a check. If you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in parental rights, if you believe in protecting kids, if you believe in financial sanity and government, if you believe in less government, if you believe that boys are boys and girls are girls and taxpayers deserve better, then you have a moral duty to vote. So I'll say it again. If you want the other stuff, stay home. You want six-figure porta-potties, stay home. You want wasteful spending, stay home. Otherwise, show up, vote, take back your schools, take back your cities. But if you don't, do us all a favor and shut up, because if you don't vote, you forfeit your right to complain about the outcome. We'll take a quick break, and then Leslie Corbly will try to explain why an activist judge barred the Trump administration for revoking Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. My wife and I were both out yesterday taking part in their Day of Action. It's the third Saturday of every month. It's a great way to get engaged. If you're looking for a way to get involved in a campaign, trying to find a way to get energized to help inform voters, AFP is a great way to do it, to help make a difference, make your voice heard. If you want more information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org. Don't forget, they're bringing, wouldn't you know it, I would have one of those moments. Guy Benson. They're bringing Guy Benson to town here coming up at the first of August. So we're going to try, like I said, we're going to try and have him on the show as soon as we can. But again, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. Well, another activist judge is at it yet again, this time temporarily barring the Trump administration from revoking Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood, partially freezing a provision in the One Big Beautiful Bill Act just days after the president signed it into law. The temporary restraining order by U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani, I guarantee you that's a Democrat appointee, lists 14 days and directs the Department of Health and Human Services to, quote, take all steps necessary to ensure that Medicaid funding continues to be dispersed to Planned Parenthood. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they'll take all steps necessary. Oh, my, whatever. With us now to kind of explain what's happening is attorney, columnist, and author Leslie Corbly. Leslie, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you working with us last week and working to reschedule. We're glad to have you on the show, my friend.
Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for rescheduling as well.
So, you know, this is what's funny about this is even Dems, even a majority of Democrats oppose taxpayer dollars going to fund abortions. Yet somehow this judge thinks she knows better than the rest of us.
Yeah. It's a pretty bizarre ruling. I've said this before. I wouldn't be surprised if this is ultimately overturned. I know the Trump administration has already appealed that decision. Congress has broad authority regarding how to spend money, essentially, how to spend taxpayer money. So the idea that they should be obligated, essentially, to fund Planned Parenthood rather than, reroute funds to other organizations they may think are better deserving or perhaps none at all, simply not allocate money, is more or less up to Congress.
Yeah, I do think it's funny. I was a state legislator for 4 years. Here we have once again a judge who doesn't understand the whole concept that Congress has the power of the purse either. I mean, where do these activist judges get off telling the legislative branch how to spend money?
I'm not sure. I think my favorite part of the ruling was when it said, oh, well, this Congress is singling out Planned Parenthood, essentially, which.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're right.
Not true. But to the extent that they were, I mean, what does it matter?
Except, well, and
Congress is allowed to do what they want.
With
funds in that regard. So I'm not really sure why that's relevant. It's also, I think, interesting that, the Supreme Court recently ruled that states are allowed to, I believe it came from the Supreme Court, saying states are allowed to not route Medicaid funds to
Correct.
Planned Parenthood for their own, for their own Medicaid funding sources. So again, this just seems kind of off the wall to me. Congress is allowed, again, to decide how to appropriate funds. And in this case, they don't believe those funds to be going to Planned Parenthood.
Well, and what's going to happen next? Are we going to get an activist judge who turns around and says that Congress can't defund NPR and PBS because they were targeted? Because you would assume that that's going to be the inevitable next lawsuit.
Sure. I mean, I think we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, obviously, some of these entities, Planned Parenthood, NPR, and others, have been receiving federal dollars for a very long time. So it is absolutely true when Planned Parenthood says that, we're going to have to make cuts. This is going to be painful for our organization. That's all absolutely true. And so I think they have every incentive to reform shop, find a judge that can agree with them. But the problem is, these rulings they're so politicized. Ultimately, they're going to continue to be appealed. I don't see those kind of rulings holding much weight. There's just in our constitutional system, it's very clear that Congress can allocate funds. And I'm not seeing anything in these cases that, negates that, okay, well, they simply don't want to fund you right now.
Maybe
you should go to the people and seek funds from them.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
You can get funding elsewhere.
Well, and that's exactly what NPR and PBS are going to have to do. They'll hold another fundraiser. They'll do another call thing. I mean, I know I've actually been down there as a volunteer at PBS and taking calls during one of their marathons, and that's what they'll do. They'll fill the hole. We're talking with attorney, columnist, and author Leslie Corbley. One of the things I felt was, I don't know if this was, I guess you'd say ironic, but the Supreme Court ruled last month that South Carolina can block Planned Parenthood from participating in their state's Medicaid program. You also had another Supreme Court ruling that barred nationwide injunctions. So this judge is just basically ignoring two recent Supreme Court precedents, correct?
I mean, more or less, yes. And again, I'm not shocked. There's always these kind of forum shopping, politicized lawsuits. It's kind of the name of the game. It's not going away anytime soon. I think we're in an era where this is a pretty popular method of attempting to block actions from administration that are not favorable. My hope is it doesn't become a tit for tat type dynamic where, those on the right begin to engage in this kind of behavior as well. But it's a pretty simple way to try to stop, a president's agenda from being enacted immediately, right? Because it has to be dealt with in court, right?
Right.
And we all know courts don't move very quickly. So while I think ultimately this will not land in favor of Planned Parenthood, I don't think that's what's going to happen ultimately. It is certainly a pain, to have to continue to litigate some of these issues that frankly shouldn't, in my opinion, shouldn't really be litigated. I think you're absolutely right that most of those on the left, even or Democrats, don't really have much of an interest in propping up Planned Parenthood. It's a pretty niche left-wing interest group, and I just don't think most Americans care to fund that, even if they think abortion should be legal. Heck, even if they think abortion should be legal through all 9 months, I really don't think most taxpayers are thinking, oh yes, I would like my taxpayer money to go to those organizations and entities. I think most of them that's just not what most people are interested in funding. So my hope is that, we're able to move away from this type of litigation in the future, but right now it's a way to for organizations like this that more or less rely on federal funds to attempt to stay afloat, right? With their funds are being
Well, without a doubt, yes. Is there any way the judge here didn't know in full well intentionally ignore those two Supreme Court precedents? I mean, the judge clearly knew, they just chose to ignore, correct?
Sure. I think practically speaking, you're correct. I mean, obviously, legally speaking, they rely on, there's other.
You can thread a needle.
Exactly. You can usually thread a needle. And that's what I think is unfortunate, though, because I do think it really decreases the public's overall trust in the legal system.
Right.
When they see these kind of things go down. Right. Because, you could thread you thread the needle legally. I don't think that's very useful practically. And in fact, I think it's quite counterproductive practically because it yeah, it just increases the public's confidence in the legal system, because everyone obviously can see through this, right? Okay, what's going on here? Why are we being required, essentially, as taxpayers to fund a specific organization?
Sure. Well, legally, they found that Mar-a-Lago was worth a tenth of what it really is worth, too. But, you know, legally and right are two different things oftentimes.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
If folks are interested, you've got a new book, Progressive Prejudice, mm-hmm. Exposing the Devouring Mother. If folks want to check out the book and if they want to connect with you, they can find you at Leslie Corbly, and that's CORBLY.com, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Leslie.
It'll be coming out in October.
October. All right, fantastic. Again, it's LeslieCorbly.com. I appreciate you taking the time to join us and carry on the fight, my friend.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Leslie. Coming up, Kyle Wiseman will be with us to talk about his campaign for election to the USD 259 Wichita School Board. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. That's the best way to get all the live updates, or latest updates, rather, on the show. Every election cycle, try to bring you as many candidates as we can. It seems like the last few weeks, since we brought you a lot of them, we're going to do some more, not only tonight, but next week. We'll try and bring you at least a couple. So every week between now and Election Day, we'll bring you as many candidates as we can. If there's someone in particular you'd like to hear from, please let me know. That being said, joining us now is Kyle Wiseman. He is running for District 1 seat on the Wichita School Board. That's the seat that is currently held by Diane Albert. Wiseman was born here in Kansas. He earned an associate's degree from Butler Community College and a bachelor's degree from Fort Hays State University. His career experience includes working as a business owner. Kyle, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I'm always excited to talk to people and get the message out there and see what the community needs, because that's what we're here for.
It's what it takes. I've knocked on tens of thousands of doors. So if you're knocking doors, that's definitely the first step. Let me start with this. Why are you running? And in particular, since you're a registered Republican, you're running against a fellow Republican in a primary. So I typically ask, if you're running against an incumbent, are you unhappy with Diane's performance in office, or why you chose to run against a sitting Republican?
Yeah, put simply, I am very unhappy. I think most of the community is. My wife, she's a teacher here in USD 259. She works her butt off. My two boys, they go over to Heights. And I swear to you, every time I'm turning around, they're asking for more money. They're asking for more money. Then we've got the board asking for bond issues, but not explaining things, and really kind of feeling like it's dictated by the district telling the board what to do. And so when this opportunity came around, it's all about putting voice back into it, making sure that we're doing things efficiently. You know, the board is talking about doing a new bond issue, let alone they're giving people raises. While last week, my wife had to work for 16 hours without a dime. They said, we didn't have enough money for this training, yet administrations are getting raises. I'm not saying that the superintendent isn't working hard. I feel like he's a very hard worker and working individual. He does a lot of, you know, unique outreach, and I think that that's wonderful. But if you're on the board, you need to make sure that our tax dollars are being spent appropriately and efficiently. And I just feel like she's not been doing that.
Well, I could definitely relate to your wife. Our daughter went to Heights. So we didn't actually live within the Heights school district, but since she went to Coleman, all her friends went to Heights.
Oh, yeah.
So we drove her every, because, you know, you don't get free busing.
Nope.
So when we moved west, we still took her every day. I had to make that drive to take our daughter to Heights High School. So I'm intimately familiar with Heights High School. So we'll start with this then. Would you support, had you been on the board, would you have voted for the bond the first time? And would you support another bond? Because it looks like they're going to put one on the ballot, or try to put one on the ballot, next November.
So when the bond issue came up for the community, I voted no. It was one of those things that me and the wife kind of disagreed upon. But the fact is I want information. And when I feel like I'm confused, I'm not giving you free money. I make my boys do the same thing. So had I been on the bond, I would have said no. Looking forward, I'm still inclined to say no, but what I want to see is I want to see some actual transparency. I want to see the district kind of tighten its belt, if you will, and prove to the community, hey, this is how we're going to do it. This is the plan. I just don't want to write a blank check. So as it stands right now, I'd have to say no.
Since your wife's a teacher, she's probably gives you a unique perspective. Just 19% of Wichita students are proficient in reading. 16% are proficient in math. That means more than 8 out of 10 students are not at grade level. How would you propose to fix that?
So it's fairly simple. One of the things the wife and I have talked about is we have a problem with kids not being in the school. If they're not in the school, they're one year of chronic absenteeism, and I think they're 12% more likely to have reading issues. Give it 2 years of chronic absenteeism or even more, you got 27%. So Wichita, I think, currently had an 11% absenteeism rate, chronic absenteeism rate. So that's going to be the first step. We got to reach out to these parents. How do we get it? Do I have to go out and, well, you don't want me to rent a van, but do we have to get vans to get these kids to school? You know, and whatever we got to do, we've got to be able to use services that are available. There's wonderful programs where their parents can actually get books from, I believe it's birth to their first time that they're in kindergarten. And studies show that if kids are reading by the time they're in third grade at a good level, it's going to stick and it's going to hold. And so that's the first step. When it comes to math, we've got to make sure that we're helping the kids grow, because there's that saying where if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, you're always going to be looking at it like it's a failure. Our kids need the help, and as a community, we all need to step up. Whether I win, whether I lose, we need to step up.
You know, the district touts, by the way, we're talking with Kyle Wiseman, who's running for USD 259 District 1 School Board. The district touts record high graduation rates. It's at 84.3% for the class of 2024, which is a 5% increase from the previous year. But when you look at it, more than two-thirds of Wichita 10th graders scored the bottom level of state math tests. Among black students, that's nearly 80% scored in the bottom level. So the question I have is, you know, if their reading assessments and math assessments are so bad, and yet we're graduating these students, why are we graduating kids that aren't college and career ready? Maybe we should be holding these kids back. What, I mean, your wife's a teacher. What is she seeing?
So we've talked about it, and I do think that is one thing. When a kid advances, there's a few things that we need to look for. We need to look for, are they emotionally ready, and are they actually curriculum ready? You know, Kansas puts out some great standards and references that we can use to make sure our kids are ready. But I think a lot of times what happens is we start trying to teach for the test or trying to make sure that we're hitting those stats. And the fact is, a success is not just graduating high school. Success is going to be, are you successfully enlisted in the military? Are you successful at school? Are you successful at trade schools? Are you gainfully employed? Some people are going to go down that path. And I think that we need to actually look at what it means to be successful. And if we do that, what will inevitably have to come up are those test scores. Because I don't care what your test scores look like. If you can't tell me where Europe is located on a map, there's an issue.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Kansas has seen a significant rise in K-12 spending, 53% over the last 10 years. And yet math and reading scores on standardized tests, which is the metric that we have to grade them by, NAEP scores have either stagnated or declined. Do you think Wichita public schools are adequately funded?
They are adequately funded, but we could always use more money. Oh,
sure. You could always use more. The question is, is the money going to the right place?
Absolutely not. I was looking at some of the information, and I believe it was the AA. I'm going to butcher the organization, but it was a federal organization. It's on my Facebook page, and they were talking about the average administration costs of high schools across the nation, and it's 6.7%. Then I was looking, I think there was a Beacon report and several other reports, and even by the district's own budget, we're looking anywhere between 10 to 14% spent on administration. The question is, why are we spending it on the back rooms and not the classrooms?
I think I've asked that same question. Along those lines, Superintendent Kelly Bielfeld just received another pay raise. He already received a 3% pay raise as part of the standard pay increase. Do you believe the superintendent deserved that pay raise?
I believe that the superintendent works very hard for his money, and if I was in his shoes, I would go for it too. However,
yeah, I can't blame them if they're going to give it to them. They're offering. Hey,
yeah,
I'll take it.
Yeah. But when we have teachers that have underfunded classrooms, when we have kids that don't have the books they need, when we're missing resources and people like my wife have to work for less.
When they're having to buy school supplies out of their own pockets.
Oh, yeah. We spent at least $500 to $1,000 last year funding her classroom just because we know that that's what the kids need. You know, so when I see things like that, it makes me mad.
No, I get it. You know? I mean, when the bond, one of the reasons I opposed the bond is because there were athletic fields, and in the case of Goddard, there were press boxes and lighting for athletic fields and things like that. That's not helping graduate kids. That's not helping get math and reading scores up.
No.
And so I completely agree. One more question. I got to go to break. Board members do not receive pay. Some districts are considering paying board members. Again, that's taking money out of the classroom. If that would be proposed, would you vote for it, or would you accept pay to be on the board?
I would absolutely vote against it. And to be honest, if I got it, I would donate it to groups like Panda, where they've got the mentorships within our schools.
That's the answer I want to hear when I ask that question. Just for future reference, we'll take a quick break. We're talking with Kyle. Do you mind sticking through the break?
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Talking with Kyle Wiseman, who's running for District 1 school board, currently held by Diane Albert. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about my friends at Americans for Prosperity. Great folks who believe in freedom and opportunity. They're the keys to unleashing prosperity for all of us. If you've got the power to change the trajectory of our city, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. Get involved. Make your voice heard. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is Kyle Wiseman, who's a candidate for USD 259 School Board District 1. Kyle, do you we'll go back to, you know, one of the things that's a core platform piece on the party platform, which is, do you support school choice?
Absolutely. As long as it's done appropriately, you know, I want to make sure that everybody is being held to the same standard. But when I look at it, I see as an opportunity for us to make them want to come here, make them
competition.
Yeah. Competition. Yeah. Like, why are we so fearful of what Wichita is going to compete against when they should be fearful of us? We've got the resources. We've got the community. There's some great schools out there.
Oh, you do. Yeah. I mean, the public schools certainly have the resources.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's be the best of the best. Let's stop worrying about who's in front of us or behind us, and let's just get to the lead.
I like that idea. And that is really what you certainly have the money. The public schools certainly have the resources behind them, but they seem to be afraid of the competition. And that I think is really what it comes to. They're afraid of the Benjamins. They're afraid of losing out on taxpayer dollars. And frankly, I think competition would breed better success in the classroom and out. The United States Supreme Court recently sided with parents who want to opt their children out of LGBTQ books in schools. Do you agree with that decision?
As a parent, you should always have the right to do so. But also as a parent, I would always suggest that you consider it, because sometimes conflicting points of view make us better human beings. You can't have faith without having the opportunity to not have faith. Does that make sense at all?
Sure. But ultimately, you would support the parent's choice.
It's the parent's choice.
I would agree with that. And if you want to choose that, let the parent choose that.
Yeah.
I would agree. Along the same lines, both nationally and here in Kansas, we've passed, the legislature recently passed protections from women and girls sports, ensuring that biological males can't compete in girls sports. Do you support that notion?
So this is the one that I'm going to have to dance with you just a little bit on.
I don't dance with men.
Okay.
But I'll lead if we do.
All right. Well, so, you know, the fact is my son was playing football as a freshman, and I didn't want him on the field with varsity 18-year-olds because there is a physiological difference.
Oh, absolutely.
They'd lay him out.
The Democrats don't quite understand that.
Yeah. But so, like, I think there has to be some sort of caution, and we don't want our students hurt. We want to make sure liability is protected, but we also want to do the right thing. And one of the things that I am always fearful of is there are girls in boys' sports that they can take you on. I mean, growing up, there were some pretty stout girls who I'm pretty sure to this day could throw down with me. And so what I don't want to have happen is where we're excluding women who can compete on that field. And so that's where that maybe kind of comes in. It's going to be, I'm going to look at the overall picture. I'm going to make sure our kids are safe I'm also going to make sure that the field is fair. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we're not going to keep people from being the absolute best and pinnacle of success.
Yeah, and I don't think there's really anyone who says that if a girl wants to, you know, be a kicker on a boys' football team, that there's any preclusions from that. I think the bigger issue is the biological males dominating girls' sports because of, and if that's really issue has come up. I know there was a kid recently, there was a girl who was kicking on a boys' football team, and I don't really see an issue with that because, you know, she's probably not out there throwing, you know, blocking on the offensive line, but I can see where you're going with that.
Yeah.
You're listed as a registered Republican, so I'll ask this question. Did you vote for President Trump? Did you vote for Derek Schmidt? Where do you stand on the party platform?
So this is going to be the fun part. I did not vote for President Trump. Oh. However,
did you not vote or you didn't vote for Trump?
I did not vote for Trump. I did vote, but I didn't vote that upline ticket. And so,
hey, you're not the only one.
You know, the problem is
we'll work on you on that.
the problem is, you know, just the economics of it. And I, looking back, I think President Trump has done some good things, but there's some things that, you know, I'm an international business major. And so when we're not wanting to trade internationally, it's kind of like shooting myself in the foot. So that's, you know, kind of where I was looking at it.
I going forward, I'd lie on that answer. If you know, I think if for a first time, is this the first interview you've ever done?
Absolute first.
You've done a really good job for a first time candidate handling your first media appearance. You've done a pretty good job. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you.
If folks want more information, if they want information on your campaign or if they want to volunteer or donate, they can visit Vote Wiseman, and it's WISEMAN.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, Kyle, I wish you all the best. By the way, just for folks know, it's not like you've, you know, had your driver's license suspended or a DUI or something earlier when you made that comment about not letting you drive the van. You're visually impaired, correct?
Yeah, yes, I am. So it is something that you'll see me walking around. You go to stick your hand out to shake it. I won't see it. But you know, other than that, I'm able to get around and do what needs to get done. I don't want no sympathy, and I want to make sure I get done with what needs to get done.
Well, I just wanted to point that out so people understood the joke, because I didn't want anybody to think, oh, God, the guy's, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I appreciate it.
So, well, Kyle, I wish you all the best. And, you know, I think, for the first time you've ever done an interview, to sit down and do 30 minutes is not easy. So I wish you all the best, and, you know, we'll see. The primary is... Folks are out voting now. The primary is less than a month away. So best of luck to you.
Absolutely. Get out there and vote. Use your voice.
Yes, for sure. Well, we've only got just a minute or so left here. I want to take a quick moment to remind you, like I said, the advanced ballots have already gone out. In-person voting begins tomorrow. So this is so important. If you have questions about a candidate, if you're looking next week, we've got one more interview on this race that we're going to try and get to. We have a number of other school district races out in Mays or Goddard. There are other races. We're reaching out with candidates right now to try and get them to come on the show. But if you've got a candidate that you want to hear from, call, you know, shoot me an email, john@knssradio.com, and we'll try and get these candidates on the air so that we can have these kinds of interviews, because it's so important that you become informed about the candidates. That's the only way. You know, I mentioned it during the monologue. There's literally 15.33 was the voter turnout in the 2023 cycle. And at least then we had a Wichita mayoral candidate on the ballot. This time it's even smaller. The forecasts are that we won't even get 15% voter turnout. We've got to do what we can to get better voter turnout in this election cycle. There aren't that many primary candidates out there, but if you've got a primary coming up or if you're interested in hearing from a candidate, please reach out to me. We'll do our best to get you on the air. Again, coming up after the top of the break, Senator Ty Masterson will be with us for a special announcement. In the meantime, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.